Blog Talk Radio.
Tell someone if they can't view us, then they can listen to us by way of internet radio. God bless all of you. Amen. That's tuning in. God bless you. Good afternoon to you also. I want to say that I am certainly grateful and honored to be able to come into your homes, your cars, wherever you are, to let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is moving by His Spirit, and He's doing great things in the lives of so many people. And the special thing about it is you can be a part of what God is doing. I want to open up with a prayer. And those of you that are listening to me, I want you to pray with me right now, because I felt a special need of prayer. I just feel that prayer is needed in somebody's life right now that are listening to me. Now, whether you are trying to, amen, get yourself together for the holidays or trying to get yourself together for different things that you're facing, I want you to know that God is able to do anything but fail. And I also want you to continually pray for my father. He's at, amen, taking care of some business right now, as you know. Now, we hold him up dearly, and I'm going to pray for him. Amen, that God will continually strengthen his body, and we get through these procedures, amen, because the one of the main things he want to do is be in that pulpit. Preaching is his life, and that's what he's been doing, even leading up to, amen, this very, very important procedure, just preaching. You know, they couldn't hold him back, so my brother, Bishop Junior Thomas, said, y'all just let him do what he want to do. You know, just leave him alone, let him preach, let him do what he want to do. Don't hold him back. You know, let him eat what he want to eat. Just let him be happy, you know. And he's doing good. You can tell he came on the radio. So we're going to pray for him. I want to pray for different ones. I have a daughter in the hospital, Evangelist Diane. I want to pray for my mother, mother's son, Mother Wiggins. I want to pray for everyone. Everyone, First Lady Johnson, those that are sick in the surrounding areas in the ministry, want to pray for you. Amen. And all of you out there in the radio land. So let me pray, and then I want to talk to you a little while, because, you know, I used to have an hour. I got 30 minutes to do this now, so I got to work quickly. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every listener that are listening to my voice. I pray right now that your spirit right now would touch them from the crown of their head to the very sole of their feet, and God, that you would heal their bodies. Those that are weak, let them declare that they are strong. In Jesus' name, those that are going through some problems in their life, in Jesus' name, I pray that a miracle would take place even now. And I curse every tactic and every actions of the enemy, and I call it to become naught, to become void, in Jesus' name. We bring it to naught in Jesus' name. And we declare victory over the lives of every person that are listening to my voice, and I declare it to be so in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you. Listen, I want to invite all of you to join me for the next few minutes, because I've been talking about the battles of the mind. And those of you, we've been getting some high response on people taking notice to how they think. You know, taking notice to how they think. You know, have you ever had the spirit to just press you on a subject? Have you ever been pressed by the Spirit of God? Have you ever been awakened by the Spirit of God? You know, I believe that angels are ministering spirits. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe this. I'm just speaking now. I just believe that what happened to Peter can really happen to you, because I know it happened to me. What you mean, Rev? I believe that when God is trying to get your attention, he used different mythologies. He used different methods. And one being is he would directly speak to you himself. And sometime an angel would wake you up out of your sleep. What you mean, wake you up? I've had angels that slap me, like, get up, it's time to get up. God want to talk to you. Y'all ain't never had that, right? Have you ever had an angel that just slap you out of your sleep or shake you out of your sleep? I mean, God do what he want to do. And sometimes God want to talk to you. And, you know, it brings my mind back to the Bible said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly with great intensity. So sometimes God will speak to you by way of great intensity. He wants you to hear what he is saying. And so God began to deal with me on the battles of the mind, the battles of the mind, that people are having battles of the mind. They're having great battles in their mind. And the devil is fighting people and attacking people through their mindset, through the process of their thinking. And that's how the enemy is trying to close in on you, through the process of your thinking. He wants you to think differently than how you're supposed to think when it comes down to God. You know, whether God has good intentions for you. It's a shame that in Jeremiah we read the scripture where the Bible said, he says, I know the thoughts that I think of you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a good and expected end. But no one really never knew that God was on the defense. He was, because everybody was walking around as if they had been abandoned. Israel felt that they had been abandoned. Have you ever felt like you have been abandoned? I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about praying. I know some people pray, and they feel like their prayers are always answered. But I want to talk to those of you that feel like, you know, sometimes you pray, and they're like the prayers are not being answered, and you just don't know what to do. Well, Israel felt that way, and God had to come to them and let them know, listen, first of all, the very position that you're in right now, it's because I allowed you to be captive. I allowed you to be taken into captivity. It was me. Jeremiah 29:11. No, I know the thoughts that I think of you, but Jeremiah 29:1, God began to explain to them, number one, I am the one responsible for you even being captive. And number one, I want you to know I was very well aware of your condition. I was aware of what you have fallen into. And I'm telling all of you out there that are listening to me, God is very aware of what you're going through with. The very problems that you're having in your life and the very things that are going on in your marriage and the very things that are going on in your home and in your personal life and in your body. I'm sick, Bishop, and I don't know what to do. God is very aware of what's going on. He say, I'm aware of it. So what do you want me to do? He say, this is what I want you to do. I want you in the place of your captivity to start building houses. What you mean? Don't let nothing stop you from operating in your gift. Don't let nothing stop you from operating in your gift. Excuse me. Don't let nothing stop you from operating in your gift. What gift? If you are a builder, start building houses. Build yourself up. Don't think about where you are right now. Think about where I'm going to take you. I want you to build yourself up. And that's what I'm telling many of you right now that are listening to my voice right now. You're gonna have to learn how to build yourself up now. You have to build yourself up. You can't go through the mind battles of saying, I don't have what I need to have, and I don't have what I should have, and I don't have what I think I ought to have. You need to start now by building yourself up. You have to take a little water. Yeah, you have to build yourself up. So he tells Israel in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, stop building houses, and then I want you to plant gardens. What you want me to plant gardens for? For me to eat? Not only for you to eat, but so you can feed your enemy. I want you to help your enemies. The enemy that have blasphemed you and your God, I want you to help them. Whatever tomatoes you grow, whatever squash you grow, whatever you plant in that garden, my God, I want you to make sure that you help your enemies. What you mean? If you go to the grocery store, make sure you buy some food for those folks that don't like you. Yeah, buy some food for them. Get them some food. If you buy a tire and you see your enemy that don't like you and they riding by you and they car shaking and carrying on, you call them up and text them and say, hey, they got some tires on sale down here. Do you want me to get you one? Y'all ain't saying it to me. He say, I want you to befriend the very person that have caused you to be in the condition that you're in, the very person that is harassing you, the very person that is talking about you, the very person that are gossiping on you. I want you to plant a garden so you can feed them. Then pray for the city that you're in, that there may be peace in their land. Why? Because if you pray for them, whatever you sow, you shall reap. You pray for them. For peace, God said, I'm going to give you peace. Man, this is some kind of talk God has given him. Then he says, I want you to marry and have children. And then tell your children to have children. So God is telling them right now, listen, don't let nothing stop you from living, prospering, growing, glowing, going, whatever you got to do, you make sure no matter what condition you're in, you don't let your mind run off into yonder's place. You build. And then he says, I'm going to hold you in this position for a little while. And I don't care what person come to you and say, yeah, the Lord said in 7 hours you coming out. He said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about you coming out, because you doing better now by being where you are and giving me the glory. Because when you come out, it's going to be a different thing for you to come out. God say, I'm setting a different plateau, amen, on your coming out. But right now, I need somebody to give me the glory in the condition that they're in. But I need somebody that's going to give me the glory without having a battle of the mind. Someone that's not going to doubt me. Someone that is not going to doubt me. Someone that is not going to stand in disbelief. Someone that's going to stand, amen, on firm faith and say, in God I live and in God I live. And for God I live and for God I what? I live. And then he says, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to bring you out. He says, because I know the thoughts that I think of you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil that give you a good and expected end. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but there's somebody that's been going through some difficult tasks in your life. You've been going through some difficult things. I mean, you've just been going through some problems and situations, you know, and it just got you down a little bit, but that's all right. God say, I want you to deal with their thinking pattern. I want you to think deliverance and not defeat. I want you to think victory and not failure. I want you to think healing and not sickness. I want you to think prosperity and not poverty. I want you to think like that. And God say, if you think like that, I'm going to bring it to pass. So a man thinketh, so is he. I tell you what, y'all type in some words that you know you need to think right now. If you want to think money, don't be ashamed to think money. If you want to think healing, just type healing in, Periscope, and viewers, just type it in. That's all. Amen. Whatever it is, deliverance from my son, deliverance from my marriage, deliverance from my home. Some of you in foreclosure, some of you in eviction, some of you going through some difficult tests, just type the word in, and however you think, that's what's going to happen. So a man thinketh. Look at that. People are typing in happiness. Some are typing in money. Some are typing in deliverance. Some is typing in breakthrough. Amen. Somebody is typing in peace. My God, gladness and favor and peace. I mean, whatever you type in, God say, I'm going to give it to you. And I'm speaking to those of you that's out there in the radio land. Whatever it is, I see joy coming. Weeping may endure for a night or a moment, but joy cometh in the morning. God say, I got your back. I know the thoughts I think of you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. They give you a good and expected end. I believe that God is doing something miraculous in your life, and the devil can't do nothing about it. Now, we're just a few days from this year ending. And, you know, the devil is already mad. He's already upset at you. I know you might not think that things are working out as you wanted to work it out, but the enemy is already mad. He's upset because he figured, you know, he had given you his best shot, and you should have given up by now. You should have thrown in the towel by now. You should have walked away by now. But look at you. You're still standing. You're still giving God the glory. You're still praising God from within. I'm talking about from within, not without. Amen. But within. Glory to God. You're still giving God and blessing his holy name. You're still making a joy proclamation. Naked came I into the world. Naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he didn't say that in doubt. He said it in true belief that if God take it away, he can double what he take. That's the kind of faith he had, because he didn't have no Bible. He didn't have no commentary. He didn't have no dictionary. He didn't have no, you know, word definition and this and that and all of that. All he had was his faith in God. His faith in God. His faith in God. Are y'all listening to me? So I believe that God is listening to our prayer. Now, we have a few days away from this year ending, but I told people on last week, God is not going to allow this year to end until he fulfills some of the things that he's already promised you. I saw giants falling. I saw giants falling. I don't care how tall your giant is. I don't care if your giant name is Goliath. I don't care if your giant name is Giddish. I don't care if your giant name is Ishbibinab. That's how they say it, Ishbibinab. You know, I used to call him Ishkabob, but it's Ishbibinab. I don't care if it's him. I don't care if you got a no-name giant with six fingers and six toes. Y'all ain't saying that to me. Whatever your giant is falling. He's going to fall because God said so. He's going to fall in your personal life. He's going to fall in your financial life. I don't know how much time I got. He's going to fall, amen, in every area of your life. He's falling. 10 minutes? Oh, I'm doing good. Amen. He's going to fall in every area of your life. Now, let me give you this point. You know, I bring up different things that I preached about, right? And I've been talking about Eve and the Garden of Eden. I told my church on yesterday, I said there was a perspective. Now, maybe you saw this. There was a perspective about the scripture, and I preached investigation of a failure for many years. But there was a perception of the scripture that I hadn't seen, and it was just something nice for me to see. Maybe you already knew it. But the said to the woman, y'all can eat every tree, right? She said, no, the tree that's in the midst of the garden, we can't touch, nor can we eat. Now, as I explained to people, God never told her about touching. He never mentioned anything about touching. He said, don't eat. But, of course, you know, you can't eat if you don't touch. If you don't touch, you won't eat. That's common sense. But she ad-libbed and said, God said, don't touch, you know, and don't eat. The serpent said, for God does know it, that in the day that you eat thereof, you shall become as gods, plural, knowing good and evil. You'll be just like him. And then the Bible said, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, right? See, the devil ain't going to try to just get you to backslide. He have to use little small things, you know, like you in the church, like you putting on a program and people not supporting it, or you telling everybody to do this and they don't do it. So he have to ease his way in. He's just not going to tell you to go back out there into the world. So when she saw that the tree was good for food, not to make one wise first, no, good for food, where it looked good, then number two, pleasant to the eye, number three, that it was good to make one wise, she took thereof and ate. You know what I saw in the scripture? The Bible said the devil stated to the woman, God does know that in the day you eat thereof, you shall become as God. In other words, you won't need him anymore. That's why he don't want you to eat of the tree, because you're not going to need him no more. And God don't want you to be in position not to need him. And you know that devil is feeding that very lie to people right now. That's why people are forsaking the church and saying, I don't have to go to church to be saved. I don't have to read my Bible to be saved. I got church in me. I got the Bible in me. I can pray on my job. I can pray at the court. I can pray at the park. Are you listening to me? So the devil is trying to deceive people into thinking that they really don't need God. But if you go on YouTube and look at one of my postings, you know, it said, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. And I say, if you take the word God out of that scripture, it makes no sense. How are you going to say, in the beginning created the heaven and earth? That don't make no sense. If you take God out of it, it don't make no sense. If you take God out of your life, it don't make any sense. In the beginning, created the heaven and earth. In the beginning, heaven and earth. None of it makes no sense. But when you put God in it, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Evolutionists can't explain that. It's about, well, in the beginning, something happened. You know, something happened in the beginning, and then after something happened, then after thousands of years, then, you know, people started, you know, coming on the earth and all of that. You know, they're trying to explain it, but they can't explain it. They can't explain it. They cannot explain it. They cannot explain, amen, taking God out of our life. They can't explain taking God out of our life because you can't do it. Evolutionists can't do it. Scientists can't do it. And certainly man can't do it. We need God like never before. We need him like never before. We need him like never before. Listen to me very carefully. All of you out there in the radio land, I want you to join me right now in a word of prayer once again, because I believe that God has a miracle set aside for your life. And I don't care how the enemy try to fight you. I don't care what he does to try to stop you or to hinder you or to fight you. He cannot, because God is in complete control. He's in complete control. Are y'all listening to me? He's in what? Complete what? Control. So he's in control of every situation that you're going through in. So I want to pray right now for all of you that are listening to my voice. I want to pray right now for all of you that are listening to my voice. And whatever you do, don't let nothing stop you from meeting me tonight at the Courtyard Marriott Hotel, 2440 West Cypress Creek Road in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. There's a miracle in store for you. There is a miracle in store for you. That's the Courtyard Marriott Auditorium tonight in the Monday Night Special. I'm going to be ministering. That address is 2440 West Cypress Creek Road in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Whatever you do, don't let nothing stop you from being there. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the service tonight. I thank you for every viewer, every listener, every person that are listening to my voice. I pray for a miracle over their life. Only you can do it. Do what no other power could do. And I declare victory of healing. I sense healing in the atmosphere. And I declare victory in the north, south, east, and west. In Jesus' name I pray. Let a miracle take place. And we call it done. Amen. Thank you for listening to me today. I guess my time is about gone, so listen, we'll be back on this same station tomorrow at 1:30. Looking forward to talking to you. We got 4 minutes? Oh, well, listen, tell you what. Y'all need to be there in the service Thursday. So while we exchanging gifts, I want you to make sure that you recognize the person whose birthday it is, all right? And I'm not going to argue about, well, you know, the Jewish calendar got 9 months and whether it really felt on December 25th and all that. Listen, he was born. Let's just celebrate that right there. He was born. We can celebrate that, right? He was born. The only reason why you know you was born because my birth certificate say that. You don't know whether they made a mistake on your birth certificate or not. So we ain't going to argue dates, all right? We're not going to go back and forth about dates. You know, they told me that I was born on August 27, 1964, you know? So whether it was 12 o'clock that night and it was really, you know, August 28th. And I'm not going to argue that. Saints, listen, we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, amen, Thursday night. So I want you to meet me at the Courtyard Marriott Hotel, 2440 West Cypress Creek Road in the great city of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And we're going to have a great time as we celebrate a risen Savior. He was born, amen. He walked around for 33 and a half years and then he was crucified, and then he rose again. And that's something to celebrate. And then you need to know why exactly he was born. You really need to know, you know, why he wrapped himself up in just sinful flesh and the likeness, and then the appearance, amen, was likeness of sinful flesh, and why he walked around for 33 and a half years preaching and teaching and people ridiculing him, and why he put up with that. But that wasn't it. Why he allowed them to slap him and put a crown of thorns on his head and then lead him to Golgotha's hill and be crucified. God say man will never outdo him, because it is said that in that same place Abraham was willing to offer up Isaac. And God say, I just want to see where mankind was. Let me show you how to do it. Amen. I'm not you do it yourself, Abraham, but you may not let nobody else do it, because you defeated five or six kings just about your nephew, you know, getting your nephew. So I don't know if you let anybody else do it, but I'm going to show you how real love act. You know, I'm going to let somebody else kill my son, and I'm going to show you how I react. Listen, you need to be there on what it is, Thursday night, and join us on Thursday night, amen, for that special celebration. So thank you all for joining me on Blog Talk, amen, and WXY and Periscope. God bless you. Thank you so much for supporting the ministry. Keep those hearts coming, amen. Keep that listenership up, amen. Invite somebody out to see us, amen, and to be with us. All right, my name is Hurricane Johnson. Leave you with these words. Hope need not die, because help is on the way.
In a world where we are having trials and tribulations along the way, we're having heartaches and pain and misunderstanding. But Brother Davis just told us that if we can make it to God's kingdom,